Acts chapter 8. Let me give you just a brief summary as to what has taken place in the latter part of this chapter. A man by the name of Philip has been commanded by an angel to leave the place where he was enjoying great blessing and preaching the gospel, and told to go out into a desert place called Gaza. Basic same area that this past week, hidden in the midst of all the other news, there were about 60 rockets fired into what is now Israel, Gaza. But he sent out into this desert place called Gaza, not himself knowing why he's going there, but as he's there walking in that desert, he's passed by a man of some esteem and place in this world, a man who is a eunuch to the queen of Ethiopia, and he is the keeper of her treasury. He's riding along in his chariot. He has, no doubt, a driver. So he's reading a scroll of the Scriptures. And so when Philip sees him, he's led by the Spirit to join this man in this chariot. And noticing what he is reading, he speaks to him and asks him a question. Look down in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Here we have a clear example of God making sure that His child hears the message of the gospel. Those who He calls to truly preach the gospel and sends Him out, although it may appear to some into obscurity, they are not on a fool's errand. They are looking for the sheep. It says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias, or Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now the question that Philip is asked, or asks first of all, is simply this. He said, do you understand what you are reading there in the Scriptures? And I could ask the same question this very day after we have just heard the reading of the Scriptures. Do we understand what is being read? Do we understand what is being preached? Sadly, there is in our day by some a kind of mockery toward this business of knowledge. But the word that we have here in our text, in the original, is the Greek word gnosko. And that is the word that is used many times and many places to speak of knowledge. It means to know. It means to know by experience. It means to acquire knowledge. It means to get to know the sense of it. Do we know the sense of what has just been read? Philip asked this man, do you know the sense? That is, do you have understanding? And I'm told that in the original, it senses in this man, Philip, a doubt that he does. He doubts that he really understands what he has just been reading. And the truth was, he did not. By his own confession, he did not, and neither do any of the sons of Adam, neither do any of us of ourselves, because of our spiritual blindness, because of our natural enmity against the true God, and our natural desire for a God rather than God, who is simply just an idol. We are, as Paul said, blinded by the God of this world. And he gives us this condemnation, this universal condemnation on all of our race. He says that by nature there is none that understands. None of us of ourselves understands the things of God. Paul describes us in this way in Ephesians 4. He says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Because of the blindness of our hearts, because we have not understanding of the things of God. So it remains, if we ever do get understanding, God in grace, God by a work of His own self, has to give it to us just like He did this eunuch. And John said this very thing, the Apostle John said this very thing to those that he describes as being the little children of God and as those who had been taught of God. Listen to what he says. Turn over to 1 John and the 5th chapter. 1 John chapter 5, and look down at what John writes as he closes out this first epistle of John. He writes to these who are believers now in Christ, these who have heard the gospel, these that are described as having been now born of God or born from above, born of His Spirit. And look at what he says in verse 20. He says, and we know, that is, distinguishing himself and these that he writes to from a world that yet lies in wickedness and blindness, he says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. You see that? That which distinguishes these people of God, these true believers, from false professors and from a world that yet lies in wickedness, is that God has come to them and given them in Christ an understanding. Now listen to what he continues. An understanding that we may know Him that is true. You see, there is a true God, And there are many false gods. And you in our blindness, and I in my blindness, all of us together, we cannot discern or distinguish from the true because of our blindness and our lack of understanding and our natural desire for that which is not true. He says that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. In other words, this understanding, he says, is a gift of grace. It is given to some people. He has given this. We don't earn it. We don't come by it by our natural abilities or natural learning. He says He has given it to us, and it is a gift of His distinguishing grace. He says God has given this to us, not to everyone. And that's the only reason any son of Adam, any sinner, ever has it. And it is not because of their own intelligence or learning, because if you look back in the gospel, you find that these learned Pharisees, they did not have it. And yet here were a few ragged fishermen and an old tax collector and men such as this, these that were low in this world. They had received of God this understanding from God that they might know Him that is true. And that's what John says there. He says that God had given them this understanding so that they might know the true God and be able to distinguish Him from every false god. And that is to know the true God in Jesus Christ. We don't know the true God in any way or through any person except Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to tell us this is eternal life. Let me read you what our Lord prayed in John 17. He prayed this to the Father, and he says, "And this is life eternal." You don't have to wonder. You don't have to guess. You don't have to search. This is as clear and as emphatic as it possibly could be made. He said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." In other words, we don't possess life eternal. No matter what we feel, no matter what we do, no matter what we profess, no matter what is thought of us, we do not know or have eternal life except in the true God through Jesus Christ. Do we understand that? This is eternal life. That is to know God in Jesus Christ. And to know God in Jesus Christ is to know Him as the true Jehovah. He is, as He says, and as He directs the apostle to say, God manifest in the flesh. Turn back over to the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, and look at what John is led by the Spirit of God to write. This is amazing. He says in John chapter 1 and the very first verse, He begins where everything has to begin, in the beginning with God, and in Him who is Himself described as the beginning of the creation of God. Listen. In the beginning was the Word. You see that? Capital letters. That distinguishes Him as a person or as a being. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's that amazing, glorious God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, light is used so many times in Scripture to speak of truth and knowledge and understanding. And so we only understand the Scriptures in the proportion that we are enabled by God the Spirit to see the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. Now, we can sit back and we can read it and try to take some comfort from the Scriptures or something said in the Scriptures that does not really belong to us, that we could never possess, that we could never have, because everything in this book is said to be in Christ Jesus, and if we are not in Christ Jesus, they do not belong to us. How do we know God? Somebody says, well, you can't know God. Well, you've just called the Scriptures a lie. He said eternal life is to know God. Listen as he goes on in this passage. Look down in verse 14. He says, and the Word, this same Word that was in the beginning, that was with God, and that was God, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Those two inseparable Siamese twins, if you want to call them that. You cannot know grace without truth, and if you know truth, you'll know grace. Because grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Look at what it says in verse 17. For the law was given by or through Moses. But grace and truth. Grace and truth came. He who came in human flesh and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one in whom all grace from God is given. And this understanding, therefore, has to do with a knowledge of and being brought to a confidence in Jesus Christ alone. Just Christ. The psalmist had long before said this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. Do you mean the Ten Commandments? No. I mean just exactly what this same Apostle John records in 1 John 3 when he says, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment, that we might know Jesus Christ. And just as it was with this eunuch, this understanding has to do with a revelation of God, the Spirit, through the Word of God, through the Gospel. Now you and I, in our day, in God's wisdom and providence, we have even a greater revelation of the Word than either Philip or this Enoch had. But it doesn't matter whether it is here in the New Testament where this great mystery of godliness, Christ in human flesh, come to this world to die and to suffer for the sins of His people. It doesn't matter whether it's there or all the way back in Isaiah 53, which is exactly where this eunuch was reading. It is the same gospel. It is the same grace of God. It is the same salvation that is only through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now let me read you just a few verses that are found in Psalm 119, which is a psalm that's unique in this. Every verse, it's the longest psalm, and every verse in that psalm has some reference to the Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. I shall observe it with my whole heart. You notice, as we'll look at in a minute, when this Enoch was given understanding by God of just exactly what it was that the apostle, or the prophet rather, was talking about, the very first thing that stems from that understanding is obedience. Listen to this verse. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Here's a man over here or a woman over here that has a PhD. And here is a man over here that walks in a field, drives a tractor in a field by himself. He has no formal education. And yet he has more understanding than those who would teach him, because his meditation is on what God says in His Word. Listen to this verse. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. If you don't hate something, I hear people say stupid things like this. Well, I don't hate anything. Well, you don't have any understanding then. He says, through the Word or the precepts of God, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. What did he mean by that? He meant that he hated every false way that men would seek to go to God. He hated every way set forth by man or trusted in by man other than Him who is the way. I hate every false way. Listen to this. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give understanding, and I'll live. I'll live. You see, that's the only way God will enable us to live. He enables us to live because He gives us understanding, and only the Spirit of God can give this understanding, but He does it through means of a human instrument. He does it through this preaching of the gospel. Look at what it says in our text in that 31st verse. Listen to what Philip, he asked this man this question, do you understand what you're reading? Listen to his response in verse 31. He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now I want you to just think about this a minute. And that is the instrument that God used whereby the Spirit directed him to teach this man in order to give him understanding. He had just left Jerusalem. He had just left a place, one city, where there were enough religious scholars and teachers and various persons who claimed to have some understanding of God. He had just engaged in all these rituals of religion and Judaism, and he had left that place with no understanding. He didn't find this understanding in somebody's big cathedral. He didn't find this understanding through some Dr. Philip or some religious person big in somebody's denomination. He did not get this understanding there. He sent a man, God sent a man, on a collision course. I'll just confess it. I don't think Philip was all that much different than somebody like myself. He's out there sent out in the desert, and he gets out there in the desert, and he's questioning God, maybe. He's wondering why he's not seeing what he once saw somewhere, maybe in another place. He's wondering why he now has been taken out of this fellowship with these other preachers of the gospel and such as that. Why is he there? Because divine providence has him on a course to meet with one of God's sheep in order to preach to him the gospel whereby the Spirit will give him understanding. And that's always the case. God will send his messenger and his sheep on this collision course. He will. He may get transferred to the Marine Corps somewhere. He may get job transferred somewhere. But where he's going to be put is where the gospel of Christ will be preached to him, and God will open up his understanding. Paul said, we have this treasure. What was he talking about? He's talking about the gospel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's just another term for clay pots. We have this gospel, precious treasure of the gospel, in the minds, in the hearts of men who are just in themselves nothing that would attract you at what in any way. They stutter and stumble, and they have no recognition by the world, but they have this treasure of the gospel, and it's for a reason. He said that your hope, that your confidence might be of God and not of man. If I preach the gospel to you, you can look at me, and in about 2 minutes you can sum up that there's no reason to have any confidence in this fellow. If you could look in my mind and my heart, I'm sure on any given moment you'd say, definitely, there's no need to have any confidence in this man. And I don't want you to. I want you to have confidence in the one that this treasure speaks of, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ. He gives us an understanding with regard to those things that we must know and would not know any other way. He gives us an understanding of who Jesus Christ is and of what God has given us in Him, so that Paul says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. When he writes that in 1 Corinthians 1, he's talking about two things. The first thing is he's talking about the preaching of the cross. No, give me the preaching of positive thinking, or give me the preaching of family living, or give me the preaching of encouragement in life, or give me the preaching of health and education. Give me some. No, he said, through the preaching, the foolishness of preaching, the preaching of a crucified Christ. That's the one thing. And then the other thing he's talking about in the context, if you read it all, he's talking about the method. that God would call a sinner to preach this vital, essential message that is essential to the glory of God and to the salvation of His people, that He would do that through the preaching of a sinful preacher like all preachers are. Turn over to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Look down in this text where we have the parable of the sower. You remember the sower that went forth to sow? You don't have to wonder about interpretation on this. He goes on in this text. He says, the seed is the Word of God. It's the gospel. Now listen. Matthew 13, he's talking about the two various groups of those the seed is cast upon. Well, in verse 19 it says this, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. He didn't understand the importance of it. He didn't understand the glory of it. He didn't understand that this message was of God. He didn't understand that this is the only way of salvation. He didn't understand that this was that word, this gospel, wherein the righteousness of God is revealed. Look down in verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground. Good, why? Why was it different than the other man's ground? Speaking of his heart. Because the Spirit of God had prepared it. Is he that hears the word and understands. See that? He's made by God to understand this is the message of God. She's made to understand that this is where it is all at. It's in this crucified Christ. They're made to understand their own desperate lostness and sinfulness. They're made to understand just exactly what it is God is saying in this word. They're made to understand His glory and His holiness. Let me read you another portion of Scripture. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he says this. He's writing to believers. He says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. I don't know what's in you or you. You don't know what's in me. You know in a measure what's in you, your spirit. I know what's in me in a measure, my spirit. But he said, none of us could know the things of God except the Spirit of God. And by the way, Christ said when the Spirit is come, He won't speak of Himself. He'll speak of me. He'll take the things of Christ and show them to you. All right, now listen, he goes on. He says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I'll never forget the message I heard Brother Henry Mahan preach on that very verse. When can you tell if the Spirit of God is taking the gospel of God and speaking to you? Somebody said, when He tells you what to do. No. He says, when He takes and reveals to us and gives us understanding that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. When He talks, when He speaks through His Word and causes us to see in His Word the things that are freely given us of God. Freely, that word means without a cause in us. As a matter of fact, it says in Scripture that they persecuted Christ. They despised Him. They hated Him without a cause. There was no reason in Him for them to hate Him. And that is simply the translation of this word, that He justifies us freely without a cause in us by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Look over in Luke 24. I'll wear you out this morning, but I want you to hear Him and not me. You see, when everything is said and done, it's all going to boil down to this: what thus saith the Lord. You may stand before God and say, well, I thought. Won't matter one bit. Our thoughts, He says, are not His thoughts, and our ways are not His way. It isn't going to matter what so-and-so's opinion was, or what this one's doctrine is, or what this denomination, it just isn't going to matter. Look here in Luke chapter 24. This is after the resurrection of Christ, to show you how naturally blind even those disciples were that walked with Him. You stop and think about this. God walked among men. They didn't know Him. Have you ever heard this song, "Let others see Jesus in you"? They didn't see Jesus in Jesus. Perfection. It wasn't good enough for them. But listen to what it says here. After the resurrection, when Christ came and presented Himself to them, they didn't know who He was. They didn't know what all this was that had happened. He'd been taken, crucified, hung on a cross, put in a tomb. Now He's been raised from the dead. It's obviously Him. It's verse 44. And He said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you." He spoke them. They heard the preacher of preachers. They sat under the teacher of teachers. But they didn't understand. "That all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." The Old Testament, just like the New Testament, is a book concerning Jesus Christ. All right? Look at verse 45. "Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." You ever been told something, or the teacher in school sat there, or you sat there and she or he tried to instruct you, and you just couldn't get it somehow. And then finally, all of a sudden, it was like, I see. This is the spiritual of that. I see. I was a preacher, pastor of a church. I didn't see. But one day, God opened my understanding to see what Jonah confessed from the belly of the whale when he said, "Salvation is of the Lord." And so He opened this book, just like we all must. But He has to open our understanding to understand what we are. And it's in every place. And I've already said too much. I've already got too far so that I can't get to where I was going. But you read, and I may deal with this next week also. You just turn to Isaiah 53 and read it, like was read this morning. I remember years ago I read behind an old commentator, and he said, it's almost as if Isaiah is standing at the foot of the cross. What's Isaiah doing? He's preaching Christ and Him crucified. Hanging on that cross in the place of His people, so that God, as a just God, might punish their sins in Him and charge them with His righteousness. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. Paul said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Christ is on every page of this book. Someone said, you can't see it until you see it, but when you see it everywhere. God, according to His own will, to a people of His choice, showing mercy and being gracious through sending His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in their place for their sin. You'll come back next Sunday. I'll show you exactly, Lord willing, what He had to say in Isaiah 53. If you understand it, Jeremiah said, don't let any man glory in anything else except that God has given him an understanding. And that's what I pray for you. I can't beat it in your heads. I can't put it in your hearts. I don't want you to believe it simply because I said it. I want God to give you an understanding. I want Him to give you this knowledge, which is to know God through Jesus Christ and Him crucified as He is revealed in the Scriptures. I want you to know the things that God has freely given you in Christ. I don't want to stand up before you and tell you to bargain with God. And I'll say, if you'll do this, God will bless you. God ever blesses you, He's already blessed you. If God ever gives you anything in His Son, He's already given you everything in His Son. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, the one in whom He chose us before the world began. You see, when we get understanding from God, two things happen. We cast all hope of self off. We cast off everything that we ever thought we did to please God or to recommend ourselves to God. And we cast ourselves on His mercy in Christ. And then we give all glory to Him. He chose us. He loved us. He saved us. He redeemed us. He died for us. He gave us life. He gave us His Spirit. He called us by His grace. He arranged everything in our lives in His providence to get us to this gospel, to get us this good news. That's what I want you to know. You know, when you have some good news to tell somebody, you can't hardly wait to tell them. I've got some good news for somebody. And if God gives you understanding to see it, to believe it, it's for you. Father, we ask this day, You would exalt Your own self in our midst, enthrone Yourself in every heart and mind as it pleases You. Call out Your sheep. Bring Your people under Yourself. Give them understanding that they might know You, the one true God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we take that warning that John gives there in that 21st verse of 1 John 5, when he follows that with saying, little children, keep yourselves from idols. How we do need You. How we are totally dependent on You as God our Savior. We thank You. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.